Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I don't think you're wrong.
And I'm with you. There's nothing wrong with Kevin Durant's legacy.
Yeah, I figured that maybe if you were to go to a different team, like now's kind of the time where he shapes it up. But yeah, no, I figured that'd be the those would be the narratives coming out of those series.
I mean, especially if he is, you know, he's obviously not going to be, you know, prime KD, but he's Kevin Durant, still very good. If he steps in and takes the role as Boston's number one guy, you know, and plays alongside Tatum and Derrick White and the rest of those guys, or plays alongside Jaylen Brown, excuse me, and Derrick White and the rest of those guys, man, I don't know how you look down on him. I don't know how you look down on him now. I mean, the argument that, you know, he joined that Golden State Warriors team, it's fine. Like, I get it. Like, I understand. Everyone says it's a 72-win team. Like, it is. It's a 72-win team that didn't win a championship. And I'm not sold that they were just going to run it back and beat the Cleveland Cavaliers the next year. You know, we often use the term, yeah, Cleveland might have figured him out. Maybe they didn't figure them out. I just don't know that they would have beat them. You add KD to that group, though, it's because it was KD. It wasn't because it was another good player or peak player. Nothing. It was Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant stepped on that floor and, you know, salute to the greatest three-point shooter of all time. He was immediately the best player on the team. It was just that time of year. Or it was just that time of his career, excuse me. He was the best player on the team. I don't know if he'd be the best player on the team for the Celtics or the best player on the team for the New York Knicks next year. KD is always going to have this weird... It's like, it's for some reason, it's always going to be complicated with KD, and I'm not sure why.
The most complicated legacy in sports. Granted, the extremes and all that keep him out, but he's got one of the most complicated legacies in sports history, I think, for as much as he's done and achieved and all that, but just no respect.
And it's all because he went to the Warriors.
Yeah.
Like, there's literally no – dude's never been in trouble. Dude's never, like, had off-the-court issues. People look down on one of the greatest scorers we have ever seen. Because he joined the wrong team.
Technically, he joined the right one.
The wrong one in their eyes.
Yeah, the wrong one in their eyes, but we just go off of our standards or whatever. Like, he got rings.
Crazy. It's absolutely wild to me. Absolutely wild. And I don't even know who makes the most sense. I feel like there's a ton of options for him. Like, Minnesota was a name that seemed to have gained a lot of traction during the postseason, maybe even at the end of last season. I know Mark Stein was championing this one a lot. I can't quite...
New York would be great.
I can't quite visualize what the Minnesota thing looks like. New York seems to make a lot more. It's a lot easier because you can move Mikal Bridges. Mikal Bridges obviously didn't work for for New York. Or
you're moving towns in that deal too, are you?
I don't think you have to move both of them.
I think you go towns first.
So we're already getting towns out of New York.
Yes. You go towns, and I think you could just start Mitchell Robinson.
Yeah, Mitchell Robinson, a very that works.
Take Josh Hart off, put him on the bench or whatever. You run over the starting five with Brunson, OG, Michael, Katie, and Mitchell Robinson.
There's really no reason you couldn't do a one-for-one deal in that regard. Now you got Karl Anthony Towns and Devin Booker. Like, we already knew Kevin Durant's not going to he's not going to get the return that, like, he got when he was out of Brooklyn. Like, there's not going to be four first-round picks and all of that stuff traded for him. So you put Karl Anthony Towns on the Phoenix Suns with, you know, the likes of Devin Booker, and if he wants Bradley Beal, you still have a lot of maybe you push New York for, like, to try to add some depth to your roster if you're the Phoenix Suns. I guess I don't hate that. Like, I think the Knicks would be better. I don't know what that ultimately means. They got to the Eastern Conference Finals. I don't know that I would pick them to beat the I don't know. Maybe that's the move that they need to beat the Indiana Pacers next year. Like, who knows what the Bucks look like next year? Who knows what the
Brad Stevens offered up Jaylen Brown and Derek White a few years ago, so we wanted them. Like, that was a real thing. I don't think you're giving up Derek White now, but or Jaylen Brown, but
what would a Celtics trade look like then? Is it Drew?
I don't think you're giving up Jaylen, and I don't think you're giving up Derek. You probably get Porzingis, maybe.
Oh, Porzingis, that's right. That's right. That's.
I don't know if that's what the Suns would want, but yeah, I don't think you're doing the Jaylen and Derek White deal this time.
It also depends. Like, what are the Suns trying to do? Like, what's the Suns' like objective here? Just to stay afloat? Like, are they trying to get younger? Are they trying to add more depth? Are they just going to continue this trend of swapping guys out and trying to add stars and this guy plus this guy, like, oh, well, this is going to amount to something. This is going to amount to something. Like, that strategy that Ishbia has implemented, and it is absolutely Ishbia who has implemented, this hasn't worked at all. So what is Phoenix trying to accomplish in a Kevin Durant move? Hell, what is Phoenix trying to accomplish in a potential Bradley Beal move? We know Devin Booker is their guy. We know for the briefest of moments, there were, hey, what if Phoenix did this? It's very, very clear. Phoenix is not doing anything involving Devin Booker now. Devin Booker was involved in the hiring process for the Phoenix Suns' new head coach. He's not going anywhere. Matt Ishbia has made that clear. Matt Ishbia, I think Devin Booker is the only basketball player's name Matt Ishbia has actually said. He's not going anywhere.
You could probably get Bradley Beal for a bag of chips on that team, though. I think I saw a report this morning. It's like, yeah, they'll take a second-round pick at this point.
As long as Brad says yes, I don't think their issue is getting, like, I'm with you. I read something yesterday. I'm sure it was on Hoops Hype, but it was a tweet that was like, they're under absolutely no circumstances does Phoenix want Bradley Beal back. The problem with that is that's not their call. I mean, it is and it isn't. But in the end, it's not. It's Bradley Beal's call. You went and acquired a player who you knew had a no trade clause. You went and acquired the, I think, only player in the league that has a no trade clause.
Who's got worse value, him or LaVine? Would you do a LaVine for Bradley Beal swap? Those two thoughts just ran through like lightning.
I don't think I would. I like Bradley Beal. I liked him more. I liked Bradley Beal more when he was in the nation's capital. I don't like him as much now in Phoenix. I don't even know what his game is anymore. At least, you know, when he was with Washington, I knew Bro could get you a bucket. Now I don't know what he can do.
It feels like he,
and then you can't, like, people like James loves to hang his hat on Zach LaVine is untradeable. No, sir. Bradley Beal is untradeable. Literally, He yeah. is untradeable. So no, actually, not even just no, definitively no. I wouldn't do that.
Chatty House is saying Soren says he'd rather have Levine. Mason Gregory says he doesn't like Levine, but likes Bill less.
I think Levine. I think that's a lot of King Sand sentiment right there. What Mason just said. I don't like Levine, but I like Bill less. I think that's the one. Right
How much of the last couple of years from Levine or Bill has just been him in a terrible spot where he just doesn't fit?
A lot of it, in my opinion, a lot of it.
Because I guess my point with that
is... But it's been years, though. Like,
yeah, I guess I'm wondering if you can come out on the other end of that. It's like, oh, yeah, Bradley Beal's still here.
Well, yeah, go be the scorer that you once were. Go be the bucket getter that you once were. But you would literally just be waiting for that contract to end.
You got a player option next year, and then that's it. Well, after next season, I mean.
And that's 59?
59 or 56.
Oh, man. I assume he picks up his player option. How old do you have that in front of you? How old would he be?
I'm pulling it up right now. I believe he's 31. Hmm.
Yeah, I'm not. I don't think I'm making that move. I think Zach LaVine is still a quality player. I think he's a quality scorer.
He'll be 32 at the end of this month. He's making 53 this upcoming season and a $57 million player option the year after that.
Yeah, that's a no for me, dog. The gold American Idol on you. I think that's a no for me.
Shout out Randy Jackson.
Indeed. Always. Always. I still think Zach LaVine's a better scorer. I think Zach LaVine is a quality player. I know people don't like his defense. I know there's a lot of things about Zach LaVine that people don't like. I think in next year, I think Zach LaVine will be better for Sacramento this upcoming season than he was in his short stint last year. I think him trying to figure out his place, his role, the demands of him in the flow where this team is just going through kind of a seismic transition, I think that weighed on him. I also think he might have been dealing with some other things that weighed on him as well. I think right before he was traded, I think his wife had just given birth right before he was traded. I think that's why he was away from Chicago. And as all of that is happening, he's getting shipped from Chicago to Chicago to Sacramento, and from what we heard is the wife and the baby, and they were all moved out here too. There's a real life element that does come into play when a player is traded, and we have given a lot of players the benefit of the doubt in that regard last year. Malik Monk being one of them. We've praised Doug Christie for the way he coached under the circumstances that the Sacramento Kings were facing. I'm going to do the same for Zach LaVine.
DeMar said as much kind of on that podcast he was on. Was
he
like,
did.
We were trying to figure it out with Fox and stuff, and then Mike Brown and Fox get traded, and then LaVine and those guys get here, and you're still trying to figure it out with the guys who were here and all that, and trying to get with the new guys, and there's just no flow at all.
He even said, I didn't really know.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Only at True North stores. New True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
He was like, yeah, no, it's great to be back together with Zach. I didn't know what to tell him when he got here. I get that.
DeMar DeRozan is that meme where it's like, I accidentally became a porn at my job.
Right. Yeah.
Because he wasn't supposed to be like the guy on the Sacramento Kings or like the leader. Like, oh, he's supposed to back up, not back up, but like kind of be Fox's sidekick and take him to the playoffs. And just, yeah, he ended up being the guy.
Yeah. Out of necessity. And a lot of things happened in the Sacramento Kings season last year. As a necessity. We'll talk more, a lot more, about the Sacramento Kings when our man Will Z joins us coming up at 3 o'clock. No stolen trade proposals when Will Z joins us at 3. Excited for that. We're going to come back. We'll talk more NBA basketball. We'll dive into this KD thing a little bit further. We'll talk the NBA Finals with our man Eddie Gonzalez. He joins us, hopefully, next on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. Eddie Gonzalez with us. He was like, man, sorry I missed last week's show. I was like, man, it's good, bro. I was in Vegas. It didn't bother me a bit. I was out there living that Eddie Gonzalez Tuesday life.
He did not care.
Nah, man. I was out there to see your boy. I know you're not a fan, man, but Kendrick and SZA put on a show, bro.
I keep hearing that. I'm not going to lie. I keep hearing that.
I know that's not your bag, but whew, that show was spectacular.
I enjoyed the last SZA tour. I love SZA. I always will.
SZA's a rock star, man.
I definitely keep hearing that the show is crazy.
Nah, SZA, like, I told KC when I got back, like, this is the gold standard for a stadium show. Like, you put two winners on a show and let them go back and forth the way that they did, like, intertwining their sets together, and two just dramatically sets where, like, SZA performs, like, the only way I could describe it is like a rock star. She is, she's fire, man. She is absolutely amazing.
The only complaint I've heard about the show, only real complaint, is that it was too long, which if you're a fan of both, even if you're just a fan of one, a concert that lasts too long is never a bad thing. You enjoy that every time.
Yeah, I mean, it was 3 hours with those two, and that's not counting Mustard's open that went for about 35, 40 minutes where he got everyone, you know, pretty turned up.
That's your money's worth, though, man. That's one of those things.
Yeah, and that concert wasn't cheap, so I'm glad it didn't end early. Yeah, that concert was not cheap. Man, there's a lot of things I want to talk to you about. What did you think about last night?
Man, you know, I won't lie. Like, third quarter, you know, it's just constantly been this like 11-point game. Mm-hmm. I'm watching a lot of Lou Dort. I'm watching a lot of Obi Toppin. I'm like, I'm turning into a hater. Like, man, I need the super teams. I need that. I was on that, right? Because I'm like, this don't feel big. But the fourth quarter is starting nodding up, and there's just something about the Pacers. They're just relentless, and we kind of know it now, so we keep our eyes tuned to it. We're waiting for the big push, and they would chip away six and then go back to 12 and then four and then go back to 12. And they're at four a bunch of times. But there was a tension late in that fourth quarter, and I got worried because they both got in the penalty like 4 minutes to go, and I'm like, oh, we're going to hit a free throw fest. But there was like a tension. There was like a apprehension from the players and aggressiveness that was like, okay, this is the finals. Like, yes, it's not Steph and KD versus LeBron and Kyrie. Yes, it's not Kawhi. It's not Giannis. But this is the finals. So that last 4 or 5 minutes, incredible. And obviously that shot is one of those things like when it happens, we tend to be a little hyperbolic. But that was an all-time great shot.
Yeah.
Like, there's just no way around it. It was a legendary shot right there in the moment. You salute to Tyrese Halliburton. And we're at the point now where, like, look, they have 3 more games to win. But his ascension is the story of this playoffs, this season, really. Like, this is how we'll look back at this season. And his ascension into this level of just closer. I know everybody's debating the superstar or where he at on the point guard list and all this stuff. So he didn't have a great game yesterday. He had a great final 3 minutes. But his ascension to this level of player and entity that we look at, that's the story of the playoffs right now. And that was incredible. Like, you just had to sit tip your hat.
But to me, that last point you just made kind of accentuates Tyrese Halliburton's stardom. Like you noted, bro was not good yesterday. He was probably a little too passive than the Pacers needed him to be. Obviously, the amount of turnovers they had there in the first half, whether they're your turnovers or you're not, they're, you're the point guard. You're gonna bear responsibility for that. But still, I knew when that ball came off, I was screaming, give him the ball. And I knew as soon as it hit his hands, it's not going nowhere. Y'all can run around the floor all you want to. This is going to be Ty's shot. And it's just going to be a matter of if it drops or if it's not. And I commend him for not settling for a three. And even more so, I commend him for not driving to the basket, because OKC beat their ass at the rim last night,
especially
in the fourth quarter. And the fact that he went DeMar DeRozan mid-range and won the game there, I thought was beautiful.
It was. And I text Kevin, like, the midi for the game, like, we were excited. We're kind of laughing in our group chat because it was like, he got to the midi because he had to, not necessarily because he wanted to. But it doesn't matter. It was a great shot. I did the same thing as you. I forget who got the rebound, but it ended up Obi Toppin's hand. And if you was on my stream on playback, I mean, you say, yo, give up the ball. Like, not you, anybody but you. I was
and Obi Toppin was shooting great last night.
And he was doing great, but I did not want to.
That's right.
Obi Toppin finally shot.
Yeah,
he was 5 of 9 for three. I think 5 of 8 from three last night. He had a great game. Incredible game.
Yep.
I was laughing with she's a beat writer for The Athletic, Shakia Taylor, and she's on the Pacers beat. And we've been talking about like the Obi, not the Obi, the Halley stinker in each round. He just has like a 6-point game randomly out of nowhere. And I'm like, damn, this is the Halley stinker. And then he finishes it like that. So working through that, getting to that mid range, like I was happy for him. Like, no relationship, no nothing with him. It was just like, this is just dope to watch him go through this. You know what I mean? And I feel like this is how I'll remember the playoffs. I've been saying Pacers in six, kind of like voting with my heart.
Okay.
But there's just something to their offense. Their defense is strong as well. Their defense is just as relentless as their offense. They pressure you full court. They're all over the place. I will say, though, watching that Oklahoma City Thunder defense in the first half and just how fast they are and how good they are with their hands, there's so many plays where it's like, oh, that had to have been a foul where they strip somebody low or they jump a passing lane. And then you see a replay and it's like, no, all ball. No, they just got there. The Lou Dort block.
That Lou Dort block, that was crazy.
And it was just like a great play, great hand-eye coordination. He just got a great block. But, man, still in the split in OKC, this opens up the possibilities of this series. Now, if they leave out there 2-0 like they did in New York, oh my goodness. We have a new era upon us in this league.
See, that was – you were talking about watching them do that, watching them walk it out. I mean, we use this phrase all the time. Tyrese used it last night on SVP. He's like, we just walk those guys down. Like, we walk our opponents down. We know, yo, if we're at 15, get to 10, get 10 to 5, get 5 to 0, and we'll go from there. To see them do that against OKC is spectacular. But to see them do it again, like if you're Mark Daigneault, you're SGA, you're the Oklahoma City Thunder, you know this is their marker. Like, just like OKC's marker is running away with a game. And there were so many points last night where it felt like the Pacers, they hit like 4 or 5 game-saving shots. Like, all right, if they had missed that one, that would have been it. But they hit the three. Okay, the lead the lead didn't go to 15. It stayed at 12. It didn't go to 12. It stayed at 9 or whatever. And they were able to fend off what OKC does well. And OKC wasn't able to fend off what Indiana does well. And I don't know how Indiana has been able to do that so many times this postseason. But their marker this entire postseason has been coming back from these ridiculous fourth quarter deficits, putting doubt out there, and then ultimately winning a game.
Yeah, I don't. I would love to know what their conditioning routine is for that team, what their regimen is, what they're doing in the preseason, what they do throughout the season, because they just don't tire. You know, I seen a lot of people mentioning that the Thunder went 11 deep last night. The Pacers went 10 deep.
Yeah,
and everybody contributed. Everybody had a moment. Everybody did something. They kind of remind me of this like a boxer who's stalking you, and you just can't get him off you. And eventually you're just overwhelmed and you're just more tired than him. Or you get that in MMA too. Like, some guys just have gas tanks that beat you more than their punches do. Mm-hmm. And they did it again. There was a couple plays. It was in the last, I think, minute, maybe 2 minutes. Shea tried to like dribble break down Nembhard, and he just couldn't get past him. He couldn't get a shot, and he just gave it to J-Dub and moved. And J-Dub ended up taking a terrible layup that was the play where Pascal Siakam almost got the rebound on his replay. But it was just like, it was just a tired play. It was just like, yo, we need this bucket from you, Shea. And he's just like, I need a second. The shot he ended up missing right before Shea Halliburton hit his shot was short. It was leaning, fading, short.
Yep.
Those guys look tired late, and it's just at some point what the Pacers do isn't a fluke. And I think we hit that point last series.
That's it.
And now it's just like, this is just what those guys do. You got to play 48 full minutes. Some games you're going to have to play 53 full minutes. The Pacers are going to do it, and you're going to have to do it too. I was watching. I said on my stream, hand to God, in that first half, I said, yo, these guys have 15 turnovers, and they're not getting blown out by 800 right now.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're going to win this game.
Yeah.
Once they figured out they're going to win this game, they only have 4 turnovers in the second half. They calmed down. They started hitting their big shots, started hitting their threes. Like you mentioned, some of those shots, they were hitting just timely shots late. It's like, Nesmith hit a shot. I was like, yo, they needed that at the end of the clock. And he just spun around and threw it up, and he made it. Miles Turner hit a bank shot that was like
crazy.
Yo, they had to keep it within three and hit a bank shot. The Nembhard three we keep watching, that was just like, this is a guy like, I'm going to shoot it. Like, I don't care who's guarding me. I don't care what. I'm going to shoot it. Shea actually did a great job. Everybody's laughing at him. Shea got a good hand up. He stayed with him. He just made a crazy shot. That team is insane. What I love about this team is they are a consummate team. It's 5-10 dudes just contributing on both sides of the court. They were attacking Halliburton late, and you could say he's the defensive weak link on that team, but everybody's working on that team.
Yeah.
Halliburton and Pascal Siakam included. It's fun watching them, man. Like I said, I was hating in the third quarter. Once it tensed up in that fourth, it was fun-wise, and I'm excited for game two now.
Yeah, you mentioned the turnovers in the first half. I had to watch I watched part of the game. I had to listen to part of it on the radio going to the TV studio, and watching it, it's just like, man, they're just crazy with the ball right now. But you're seeing the game in like full perspective of like, yeah, okay, OKC didn't really get anything out of that. The game just kept living around like 8, 9, 10, 11. Then I get in the car, and it's like, it felt like the Pacers were losing by 30 because every play, like every other play, they were turning the ball over. And maybe you're like processing, you know, like audibly what's happening in this game and not recognizing that OKC isn't scoring off of this. And when PJ, I remember I went to get out of the car like, man, what is this? PJ was like, yeah, it's a 9-point game with such and such time. What? They just turned the ball over 4 times. How is it a 9-point game? But for the Thunder to not do something that they did so well this season, and that's capitalizing off of people's turnovers or capitalizing off their opponents' turnovers, man, that was a huge plus. And you mentioned those 5 turnovers in the second half. That 3 ball fell at a greater rate for them. A lot of things went right for the Pacers last night, but I'd make the argument a lot of things didn't. And they have I know OKC's feeling like they could set up a good game plan for game two. I know Indiana feels the exact same way.
Yeah, that's kind of my takeaway from the game. Like, in a lot of ways, they won a game they shouldn't have. They had to pull, you know, they had to snatch it from the jaws of defeat. Whereas the Thunder, you look at the Thunder, like, we feel like we played great. Shea had a great game. We didn't exactly spread the points around. Shea had a great game. We were up big late. We were up 15 in the fourth quarter. Like, this is what we wanted. Our defense was 20 turnovers in the first half. Like, what more can you ask for at that point? For those dudes to still win that game, if you're the Pacers, you got to go, yo, Hallie will be better next game. We'll shoot better. We'll take care of the ball better. We'll be a more complete effort. But, like, let's not make this a five-minute sprint every time we play. And I like where we're sitting. And that's exactly how I'm seeing it, too. And, you know, I'm sure the Thunder are like, look at what they had to do to beat us. The Pacers are like, look at what they had to do to be close to us.
Like, you know, look, yeah, 38 from SGA last night.
So it's fascinating. I'm super excited for this series, like way more than I was in the middle of the game. And one thing, like, to get on my pedestal real quick, all this small market, big market, superstar, I don't know why we care about that stuff as basketball fans. Like, I don't know why we turn into marketing experts and we do this, that, and the third. Yeah. It's weird to me. When they throw the ball up, I don't care what market is playing. I don't care who they got free agents, and I don't care who got what shoe. I want to see good games. And then that game, like I said, I started the game saying, man, where's Jokic? Where's the superstars? In that game, I was screaming and cussing in the air. So none of that matters.
Dog was hyped too. Yeah, dog was hyped for the game too.
It just did the New York thing where it just started raining out of nowhere, like pouring. And he's like, what is this?
Ain't supposed to be doing that out here. Ain't supposed to be doing that.
Right.
You mentioned your boy a minute ago, KD. For some reason, he was in the news this week. Not him specifically, but his name was out there. And your man Shams Charania said there's 5 to 6 teams who have expressed interest in Kevin Durant. I'm sure the number is a lot greater than that. What's this offseason look like for KD? Because it seems to be he's not going back to Phoenix. Like, what's you've dropped some teams that you think he would be great on. But what do you think this looks like now that it appears to be heating up a little bit?
Yeah, we've been talking every day, been working the wire, been talking to everybody, been talking to Shams and hearing kind of the noise of it. And we're at that point now where the draft is 10 days away, a few weeks away.
Mm-hmm.
The Suns have hired their GM, they've hired their coach, and they're ready to get to Willing and Dylan. And the first activity for the summer, is trade Kevin Durant. You know, that went from like, now the rubber's hit the road and they're ready to trade KD. I think there's been some communication. I think there's some understanding of the teams that are interested. And the teams are pretty much the same. I mean, I'm not going to break the news that Shams breaking, but you're looking at the Rockets, you're looking at the Spurs. Mm-hmm. The Spurs are a team that finally got mentioned a little bit more. You're looking at the Spurs, looking at the Clippers, who have been kind of loud about their interest and maybe some of his former teammates kind of letting the world know that they want him over there. You're also looking at the Wolves and the Knicks, and you know the trades are a little different for each team. I think the Suns have to decide what they want. And what I'm curious about is if Kevin has a preferred destination, does that actually register for the Suns? Do they care? Do they want to honor that?
Yeah.
If Kevin has a preferred destination, but that team isn't given the biggest best offer, you know, how far do the Suns honor that before they say, hey, you know what, KD, we love you. We loved having you here, but we're going to have to take that other offer because it got a little bit more and got a little bit more of what we want. I think that's the scenario we're coming up on. I expect the trade to happen maybe a day or two before the draft, like not draft night. It'll be done before that. I think the Suns prefer a pick in this draft so they can replenish a little bit, get a player.
Yeah.
So that makes that 10 pick in Houston really enticing. That makes that 14 pick with the Spurs really enticing. But those might not even be on the table for all we know. But it's gonna start moving here a lot soon. We're gonna get a lot more Shams tweets about this soon, and we're gonna get a deal. And as far as Kevin, I mean, we started the offseason like, man, I ain't tripping about none of this. I'm waiting. Nothing can happen after the finals. Till like now, he kind of knows it's gonna happen, and he's. Damn, he kind of knows it's gonna happen.
Man, no wonder the dog upset. What was that hail that just hit your house? Man,
stop.
See?
So I thought the radio. See, was like, the dog's
okay. A Kings fan. That's all right. We're a dog friendly show. Dog's a Kings fan. They were like, wait, Rockets, Spurs, Wolves, Knicks, Clippers. Where the Kings at?
But yeah, I think we're at the point where Kevin's like. All right, whatever happens, happens. It is what it is. He's still enjoying his offseason. He's still chilling, getting his work in. If you follow, you know, all of the basketball accounts, you see Kevin. He's at the gym every day now, and he's focused on that. So it's whatever happens, happens. What I think is going to be the interesting part of that story is obviously where he goes and if he decides to sign an extension or not. And I don't think that's a guarantee in any scenario.
It's a serious question. How does he feel about Tom Thibodeau?
I've seen that conspiracy theory. I've seen that whole scenario. Look, let me tell you, because I've seen it about Giannis too. No, nothing to do with that. Tom Thibodeau, that's all about who's already in that house over there.
Yeah, I believe that.
Not to get too deep into the weeds with the Knicks, but I would tell you like this. That's a little bit of a madhouse over there. So there's a lot of disgruntled people feeling away about where that team is at and then everything that I deal with on a daily basis out there. A lot of them. And so I'm not surprised Tibbs is gone. I'll be very interested to see who his replacement is, because you're stepping in a little bit of a circus out there. And I'm not sure that that team, whether they get Kevin, whether they get Giannis, whether they whatever they do this summer, that team might have maxed out this year. I don't know what more they can add and offer to improve upon what they did. They were two games away from the finals. And if you're getting fired for that, then, you know, what is the expectation level over there?
Yeah, I mean, clearly, like that contingent felt like they built a team. I mean, that we said this when the Mikal Bridges trade happened. That team was built to beat Boston. That's what they were put together to do, and they did it. Salute. They didn't do anything else after that, but they beat Boston, and that probably left them. I mean, it's probably more frustrating to lose the way that they did than if they had lost to the Celtics themselves. I'm with you though. I think that team probably has maxed out. Like, I think that team probably is as good as they're going to be. And an addition of Kevin Durant, it's always going to be enticing. But how else are you going to – you've got a Mikal Bridges issue there that you got to work with. I don't know if he's part of that deal. You probably have a Karl Anthony Towns issue that you got to figure out. Maybe he's a part of that deal. But I'm with you, obviously, being far, far removed from where you are. This Knicks team's got some issues.
Yeah, and look, they were never stuck on that roster as it was. So I expect some movement this summer if they get the opportunity. Like, they're going to jump into all of these trades and try to get these guys. They offered OG and Mitchell Robinson at the deadline for Kevin. Now, however you feel about that deal and if the Suns should have took it, that was there. That was there to be had. The money matches. This, that, and the third. They didn't take it. I'd imagine their offer this summer is going to be very similar, whether it's going to be OG or Mikal Bridges. But it'll be something along those lines. I've seen some reports this week that it won't be Karl Anthony Towns. They won't. I don't think the Suns are in on him, want him, care about that necessarily. Giannis, that trade, that probably would center around Kat if Giannis does decide to get out. But Giannis is probably sticking around, waiting to make his decision, waiting to see what the Bucks are going to do. That's going to carry on throughout the summer. But I'd expect some changes there for sure. Mikal Bridges is extension eligible. He's, you know, they're trying to figure out what his fit is there. If he fits better at another place, he's got a ton of trade value. They traded a ton for him. But yeah, I expect some movement out there and whether it's KD, Giannis, or anything else out there, I think they're gonna do some shuffling.
I always said I was going to die on the Mikal Bridges hill. I don't think I want that death anymore. I don't know. I loved Mikal. Like after Phoenix, like I thought he was going to, like, emerge to like a A1 player in Brooklyn. It's like, all right, he's there alone. Like, he's gonna show, like, he's that dude. I don't know who he is as a player. I have no clue.
And I think, you know, I think, look, playing with Brunson is tough. He averages like the most touches and ball handling minutes in the league and all these stats about basically he has the ball more than everybody. And playing with a guy like that is tough. And for Mikal, you know, that limits your role. That first couple months in Brooklyn, that the honeymoon phase, I thought the same thing. I'm like, oh, he's a little bit better of a creator than I thought. He can get his shots a little more. Like, maybe there's something here. Maybe he's a 25-point-per-game guy who can play defense. You know, that all tailed off the next season, and you had to do a little more, and it didn't work as much. Same thing with the Knicks. Like, I always thought he could offer them a little more. He's had some great games. He closed out some great games in these playoffs. But, you know, it's going to be tough to get that opportunity next to Jalen Brunson, a player who just operates with the ball that much. And this isn't Jokic-style offense where, yeah, I touch the ball every possession, but we move it and the ball pops a little more. This is a dude dribbling on the right corner in the right wing and working his way into the paint or whatever shot he wants for 15 to 20 seconds of possession. That's a little different and a little frustrating. But I'm with you. Like, there's some talent there. 5 first round picks, $40 million a year talent. I don't know. I might be getting off the wagon at that point too.
I love that I asked about Tom Thibodeau and you know exactly what I was talking about. Twitter's funny, man. Twitter is absolutely hilarious. Man, we appreciate you, Eddie. I'm excited for this offseason. Sham said this might be, I think he told Pat McAfee, this might be the craziest offseason in NBA history.
Yep.
You in on that?
I mean, you see a lot of names that could be potentially moving. We don't have no clue how the Celtics are feeling about their upcoming season. We know they want to get under the tax. They want to shed some salary.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You know, it's almost a given that like somebody like Drew Holiday is gone, but could they possibly move Jaylen Brown and stuff like that? And then you move all the way throughout the league. Trae Young has been rumored for forever. Ja Morant is in a situation where they're about to pay Jaren Jackson, and can they have all that salary over there? Zion Williamson is another one who is a possibility. Like, you know, they're going to test the waters. They're going to see what they can get. So many different guys. And then obviously you have Giannis and KD at the top of that, and they kind of shift everything after those first two dominoes fall. I think it is going to be a hectic offseason. This is where you kind of make your bones as a team. And you know, all of that small market stuff, you look at how these two teams are made in the finals, some big trades for both.
Yeah.
And some great drafting for both. And then a couple of little shrewd free agency pickups. So, like, there's always room to make money in this league and to pick up some talent. And I expect a lot of movement this summer for sure.
Yes, sir. No doubt. Eddie, we appreciate you as always. Thank you, my brother.
Yeah, hey, sorry about Mother Nature and this fat dog, but nice. It's good to see you, my man.
Yes,
I'll
sir.
I'll be back next week. I ain't missing my email again, man. My fault.
No doubt. No doubt. It's all love. We appreciate you, my man.
Have a good weekend, bro.
Yes, sir. You too now. That's a man, Eddie Gonzalez, right there. One of the best in the game, bro. Love, love, love talking to him. That's become one of my one of my favorite weekly segments right there, getting all of that insight from him. Obviously, he's got so many friends around the league, so many friends in the media. He's pretty tapped in. I had heard rumblings. I don't know that this was written about. Y'all correct me if I'm wrong. I had heard rumblings about the Knicks offering something for Kevin Durant before the trade deadline, but it was real generic. I never heard specifics, and I never actually got confirmed that it was real. It was just something I think, that makes sense. Yeah, Knicks, they inquired. I didn't realize they actually offered something up, much less that it was OG Anunoby and Mitchell Robinson. I don't know what Phoenix thinks it can wind up acquiring. Of course, Eddie just laid out they almost certainly want to pick, which goes back to the conversation we were having just a couple of minutes ago. That 14th pick that the San Antonio Spurs have, man, that's going to be really attractive for someone. Because you talk about whether, if you know, maybe if you're Houston, is that 10th pick on the table? I don't know. But if you're San Antonio and you got the two and the rookie of the year and the rookie of the year before that, do you really need to add two young brothers from this class when you can use that 14 to land you a Kevin Durant? What does that do for a potential championship window for the San Antonio Spurs if they make that deal for Kevin Durant? We'll talk about that, and we'll talk with Will Z. Try to find a way to make the Sacramento Kings a better basketball team. We'll do that when D'Lo and Casey return here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. My man Aldrin J asking here in the chat if we have a show on Juneteenth, which is Thursday, June 19th. And the answer is, I don't really know. We thought, like, yeah, maybe we'll take Juneteenth off and then we'll, you know, go for scheduled rest on June 20th. But we're not going to do that, because we're going to be at Sky River Casino on June 20th, and we don't want to be, you know, away from the radio two straight days before going into that next live show. And it's a different type of live show. For those who missed that earlier, we're going to do a night with D'Lo and KC at Sky River Casino at the patio, on the patio of 32 Brew Street, from 7 to 9 on June 20th. So come hang out, have some drinks, have some food. There's no broadcast equipment. There's no streaming equipment. This is just for those who come out and not in attendance, man. And we're going to have a good time that night. Our first ever A Night with D'Lo and KC, June 20th, 7 to 9 p.m. over at Sky River Casino. Sky River Casino got a lot of great events coming up. I'm going to be out there the week prior, next Friday, actually, with the wake up call for a bingo event that they got jumping off for Pride Month. So some great things jumping off at Sky River Casino all month. I think they're celebrating like Whiskey and Bourbon Month or something like that over at the Humidor. Always a great excuse to go to the Humidor, have some cigars and some whiskey. And so, you know, we'll be doing that on the 13th and 20th. So lots of great things ahead, as there always is over at Sky River Casino. Our man Will Z going to join us coming up here in just a couple of minutes, riding the high of game one last night and the incredible performances from the Indiana Pacers and the Oklahoma City Thunder. A great start. I was just scanning while we were talking to Eddie a few minutes ago. He brought up the ridiculous conversation about market size, and he didn't throw this part in, but I will. All of the talk about ratings and what this will look like and all of that with two smaller market teams in. No, you know, likes of LeBron James, no Steph Curry, nobody like that. And I was hoping I could find out. If the ratings for last night's game had come in, and I haven't been able to find them yet. So it doesn't look like they're here yet. I know I mentioned this a while ago, Jesse. I know you had it. Can you find that SVP clip of Tyrese again? Tyrese had a phenomenal two voice switch in his sit down conversation with Scott Van Pelt. I want to run that for you, because listening to Tyrese's voice change multiple times in real time is absolutely spectacular. Of course, Tyrese coming off another game winning shot last night. Here's Tyrese Halliburton with Scott Van Pelt last night.
Here's the thing is, like, we've had to win in so many different ways all year. Mm-hmm. We've had so many weird wins during the regular season, during the playoffs. So why would that change? Because we're here in the finals. It's not changing. So, you know, we just keep staying at it and just keep believing. And, you know, that's the result we get.
Bro, that is crazy. That's crazy. That's not real. There's no way. Bro, I swear to you.
Hold on.
Like, we've had to win in so many different ways all year. Mm-hmm. We've had so many weird wins during the regular season, during the playoffs. So why would that change? Because we're here in the finals. It's not changing. So, you know, we just keep staying at it and just keep believing. And, you know, that's the result.
I swear to you, go to ESPN's page. I don't remember what the finals article is, but that's the accompanying video. That really happened.
Sounded like one of the Monstar aliens from Space Jam were there or something.
That absolutely 100% happened. I was watching that post game and was like,
you know the sound it makes when you rewind a voice, whatever. Yeah. It was kind of like that tone.
Ty's voice changes are epic. And I don't think I've ever heard him go from one to the other, back to the other, in such a quick stretch. I remember the first time it happened, I thought something was wrong with our studio. We were at home. I thought something might have been wrong with the internet. I thought
you were listening to that live?
No, I was.
No? Saw the video?
No, I saw the video on ESPN's website. So a completely undoctored video on ESPN's website.
Yeah, that's wild.
That's exactly what it sounded like.
And that's different from Kat doing a New York accent or whatever. Like, this was real.
No, because Kat's New York accent is fake.
Yeah, this was real right here.
No, this was very, very real. Oh, my gosh. That is so incredibly funny. I got to get Katie to send me the video that she took last night. It's on my Instagram page. But it's part of a greater reel, and it has like sound over it and all of that. We have like my reaction, Kenny's, Matt George, Kevin John, like our reaction when the shot goes in is crazy. Like oh my God, that was so much fun watching that game last night. So much fun watching that game last night. And I was when I realized, I think I am like actively rooting for the Indiana Pacers. Like, I was watching that game yesterday, and I felt like I was like, yeah, man, Shea is cold, and all right, okay, Indiana just hasn't been able to make that. They haven't been able to make that push. They haven't been able to make that final run. They haven't been able to do what they did against, you know, New York, Milwaukee. All right, let's see what they could do in game two. And then it, you know, 12 turned into 9, 9 turned into 7, turned into 4. Then all of a sudden, now I was rooting for them. It was a lot like when Ty's shot went down in game one and it was a 2 and not a 3. I really wanted the Pacers to win because I was afraid that moment would die if they didn't. So I started very actively and audibly rooting for the Indiana Pacers. I found myself doing that again last night. I was rooting for the Indiana Pacers to win that game. And when it came down to a final shot, I knew Ty was going to have the ball. I was rooting for Ty to have another one of those moments because who doesn't love those moments? I mean, as long as they're not happening against your team, and far too many of them have against Sacramento, who doesn't enjoy watching those moments in sports? That's one of the things that makes sports great. Again, if you're not invested in the two teams personally, man, that's what makes sports fun.
Are the Pacers a team of destiny?
Man, Kenny's been saying that since that Knicks game. And I,
like, call what you want. Like, they were down most of that game. Now they're only 3 wins away from being champions.
I don't know. I feel like if I say they're a team of destiny, I feel like if I say the Pacers are a team of destiny, it takes away from how good they are. Like that, like some like mythical forces leading them. No, I think they're really good.
Well, they're good, but they also are like the underdog in this series. And it's like there's been so many times where yesterday's game happened. They did it against Cleveland, the Bucks, yeah. the Knicks. Like, nah, it's just they keep pulling out these wins. Where's just how the hell did they do that after the buzzer rings?
Yeah, but maybe they are
because they are playing their best basketball of the season. But it's also like it's just they're pulling off some crazy wins right now.
They've been playing great basketball since January. Like this isn't a play-in team making a run to the finals that got hot. This isn't an eight seed that has stumbled. Well, I guess an eight seed would be a play-in team, but this isn't a team that's just kind of stumbling in to some series victories. With all due respect, this isn't the Miami Heat of a few years ago who were like, oh my God, I can't. What is going on? It's like if you were watching the Pacers, like, yeah, this is believable. Yeah, this is believable. Beating Cleveland, believable. Beating Milwaukee, believable. The way in which they beat the New York Knicks is what got everybody's attention. They kind of beat Cleveland, and I was like, yeah, Pacers, that's cool. You know, you beat these, it's fine. But the way they beat the New York Knicks and the fact that that Tyrese shot went down at the Garden absolutely added something to this. To take a 2-0 lead in the first two games of the series in New York on the road, that added to this conversation a little bit.
You see how we're already starting to just mention that Tyrese shot, like, not as, like, kind of as if they won it with that shot. Like, it's not like, oh, yeah, Tyrese hit the shot and went to overtime.
That was always going to happen.
Yeah, it's funny. It's happening so quickly now.
It started happening the next day. There were almost no highlights shown of overtime. There was almost no reference to the fact that the Pacers were down like 4 or 5 in overtime.
Exactly.
That they had to come back in that 5-minute stretch to win the game. Pacers come back to beat the New York Knicks, down by 20, blah, 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 blah. Tyrese hits the shot. Makes the gesture, and
Pacers win game one.
That's it. That was always going to be the case. It was like, I know we all remember the, what was it, 176-175, the Kings win versus the Clippers that Friday night. The Kings played Sunday, and I remember the messages we got the most that Sunday night were, I'm so happy that they won, just so we can go back and talk about Friday more. That's what that shot was. I'm so glad they won so we can go back and highlight that shot more. It's why I started rooting for them. That was such an amazing moment, and the Garden played a huge factor in that. Ty's reaction played a huge factor in that. Troy's asking, all-time playoff moment. Man, absolutely that's an all-time playoff moment. And the story will probably never be told that shot forced overtime, because the Pacers wound up winning, and all you have to do is tell the story that the Pacers came back in game one, beat the New York Knicks, show the Tyrese shot, show the gesture, the celebration, and we're out. It's that easy.
I don't know how he keeps hitting these shots, by the way. I don't know if I've ever seen this.
There's ice water, and then there is whatever Tyrese has flowing through his veins.
Yeah, it's kind of insane.
Because I think we looked at this, I'm assuming it was after the Knicks shot and not the Bucks one. But wasn't it like 14 of 15? Oh, here it is. Securing got it. He's 13 of 15 in those moments. And I don't know if that includes last night or not, but he is not afraid of that moment. And it is just, it feels like the bigger the moment, the more Tyrese will stick his chest out. That's crazy. I am absolutely loving Tyrese Halliburton and watching what he's doing.
Did you pick the Pacers to win this series?
I didn't pick anyone.
No? Okay.
No. They even asked on TV last night. All I said was, I think we're going to have a hell of a series, and it's going to be closer than most people think.
I wonder, like, as good as the Pacers win was, I wonder if it's changed anyone's minds as far as who's going to win this series.
I don't think it has. I think people, like,
a lot of people
like,
were expecting a sweep or something.
That was crazy. Five. Yeah, that was crazy to me. Like, I know I keep referencing Anthony Slater's remarks on the Athletic podcast, but he said I had OKC in five. The win just makes me think now, okay, it'll be OKC in six. It just pushes it back one game. People are either, I don't even think it's a lack of appreciation or respect or whatever for the Pacers. I think just people are that in on a 68 win team that absolutely blew out their opponent in the Western Conference Finals. And I'm just not.
Yeah, G. Manuel Wentz says the spread for games two was minus 11. Sorry, Smith says he still got the OKC in five.
It was 9.5 yesterday, wasn't it? I think the spread yesterday was 9.5. So the fact that they won that and got to 11 is crazy to me. But there are a lot of people who think it might be a blowout. Or will be a blowout. So I don't know. I'm not of that ilk, and I'm expecting another game, maybe not just like we had in game one, but I'm expecting another extremely entertaining game in game number two.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Only at True North stores. New True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.